Ebenezer family and friends, it is so good to be back with you. God has just blessed us so much. Anybody been blessed out there? Just put in the chat, amen, or I've been blessed. I know it's a lot of typing, but get used to it. We're going to jump into it today. I've been blessed. I want you to think about, especially as you look at that oil that I have up there in flour. Imagine that's all you had in your house. That was like your last meal for your family, and you were going to be able to make some little waffles. My wife has this little waffle iron. It's like a little itsy bitsy waffle iron. And you were going to make just a couple of these or a few of these little waffles out of that flour and oil. And it was it. Just think about if somebody came over your house and said, can you give me some too? But it wasn't just them. They had a whole family. Yeah, I want you to think about that. Because I'm telling you, even in impossible situations, God can provide. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be back in to renew our mind. And I'm telling you, the Lord's just been speaking to my heart, and I pray that he's been speaking to yours on how we can walk and get closer to him. I want to thank you, as always, for staying connected to ebcnc.com. We've got a lot that's going on there. Please check our calendar events. We have a general church conference that's coming up on October 18th at 6 o'clock. And we've got some other things with our kids and scholarships and all those things. So please check that website out. So much is going on. And as always, our Bible studies that are there. We've got our Monday manna, our Tuesday noonday Bible studies, our Wednesday Bible studies, and we've got our Thursday in-person Bible study where we're in the book of 1 John. So the Lord is doing amazing, amazing things. I want to thank you for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver. He wants us to give from our heart. I was just blessing us the other day. Someone asked me, like, Pastor, you know, do we pay dues or anything of that sort? And I was like, no dues. Some of you remember that. That's old school dues. But we can give from our heart, and God has blessed us. Anybody been blessed? Just say amen. He's blessed us so much. So thank you, thank you, thank you that we can give not grudgingly or necessity. God loves that cheerful giver. Whether you're giving through our app, whether you're sending it into our secure mailbox, or you're not in-person service, from all of our leaders and those of Ebenezer, we just thank you, thank you, thank you for being a part of the fellowship. The Lord is doing amazing things. He's saving souls. He's adding to the body of Christ. Well, I'm ready. I am ready to get into the Word today as we continue to renew our mind. Let's prepare ourselves. We'll see you soon.
Hey, y'all. Good morning. I'll be reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 through 14. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all. Those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down, plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in numbers there are, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city which I have carry you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yet this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Not let the prophets and the diviners among you to deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophecies and lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 7 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me, and I come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you will seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place in which I carry you into exile.
Amen.
When the day comes, if the day comes, and I am still here, I will say to the Master, thank you for staying near. And I will forever give you the praise. 'Cause I know where my help comes from, And I know the battle is won. And I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above. And I know he watches over me. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. When I get up, if I get up, and I can move my legs to walk, Lord, and if I open up my mouth just to speak and I'm able to talk, I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Well, I know where my help comes from. Lord, I know the battle is won. And I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above. And I know he watches over me. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Now when the night falls, that's if the night falls, and I'm in my right mind. Thank you, Lord, I will say to the Master, thank you for being so kind. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. Well, I know where my help comes from. Lord, I know the battle is won. And I am forever trusting in your love. You're my spirit sent down from above. And I know he watches over me. And I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise. And I will forever, let me forever give you the praise.
Well, we're back to renew our mind. Back into that whole topic of how we learn, how God teaches us. And I am so glad that he's given us, the believers, his Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us and leads us into all truth. As we're in this topic today, I really want you to walk along with me as we go on this path and put yourself in the story, because we're going to learn more about how God speaks to our hearts. And as he speaks to us, he wants us to hear his voice and walk in it. Remember our memory scripture. I have just been blessed as we've been reading it into our minds, so it'll get into our hearts. So Romans 12:2, I ask you to just read it with me. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give yourselves a hand clap. If you got that little Moshikon, you can put the hand clap there. It is so good that we're getting this in our mind, that it can seep down into our heart, and that we can use this on a daily basis. Well, before we go any further, I want you to just go on a word of prayer with me as we just strive to hear God's voice. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for this day that you've made, and help us to rejoice and be glad in it. So much is going on in our society, but it's so good that your word is foundational, Lord, that your word changes our lives, Father. And thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on that cross but got up on the third day for us and is now interceding for the saints, Lord. Thank you for that. So now, Lord, I pray if there's someone that's looking in, listening in, that doesn't know you, that today be their day, that they can confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you've raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Thank you for that immense grace. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask you to do what you can only do. Teach, guide, touch hearts today. Transform minds, transform hearts, Lord. And we just praise you, Lord. Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small town can be transformed to be like you. You're amazing, Lord. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get into our section of scriptures today, as I told you on last Sunday, this is kind of a two-parter, but I need to make an addendum. This is going to be a three-parter because next Sunday we'll be back in this chapter. As I was just going through and just meditating, I'm like, Lord, wow, all of this is that same topic, renewing our mind. So today I want us to focus in on 1 Kings 17 and the 12th verse. 1 Kings 17 and the 12th verse. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. I want to speak from a title today, same as last Sunday, Learning from Obedience, but this is part two, Learning from Obedience or Through Obedience, part two. As we're back into this from last Sunday, as we were doing that process of learning how God teaches us, renewing our mind, obedience is very powerful. Learning to trust the Lord is going to really be our focus point on today. Just a little review. Maybe you missed last Sunday, or maybe just, okay, Pastor, bring us back up again. Last time, our focus scripture was 1 Kings 17:2. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, that's Elijah, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And again, learning from obedience, that title. Just some points in review to kind of get us flowing today. Have faith in God, walking in the world, words, supernatural provisions, go. He has the whole world in his hands, and the journey continues. And it truly does today. We continue on that journey. Time frame, remember, about 874 to 853 BC. Elijah, he is our central figure here, a miracle prophet man that God is using. He's in a time of Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab, wicked king, Jezebel, his queen, wicked also, has brought in all kinds of lewd idolatry within the area of Israel. And now God is bringing forth judgment. From last time, God uses Elijah to pronounce a famine on the land, that it's not going to rain. So no rain, famine is occurring. And we find in the scripture, we're going to look a little closer today, it's going to be 3 years plus that this famine, this judgment is going to be upon the land. Also on last time, remember, Elijah is taken away from the place of where he proclaimed that judgment. He's gone to a little wilderness area there. God fed him by ravens, bread and meat twice a day. I'm telling you, and he made water go down that brook clear and clean. Elijah is doing well, but guess what? The brook dried up. And so in obedience, learning through obedience, Elijah realized it is time to move. Let's go into 1 Kings 17 and 8. Then the word Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Here's our first point. God can use you. Yes, yes. I want you to make that personal. God can use you. Can you just type that if you're in the chat? Because I really want you to get this one. God can use you. You might want to put in there, make it personal. God can use me. God can use me. As we enter into this portion, Elijah has kind of been a loner situation for him. You know, he's been kind of by himself, him and the ravens, into the wilderness, hearing God's voice, that brook, the water is no longer there. So he's on the move now. He gets directive, learning through obedience from the Lord to continue on. And he has to have an intersection with a widow. This Gentile widow was actually a fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, it's amazing. When we get in the scriptures and we dig in, we can put all these scriptures together. Walk with me, Luke 4:25. But I tell you truly, Jesus said, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Isn't that amazing? Christ speaks of this incident that we're dealing with today because it was a fulfillment of prophecy in a sense. This is also Jezebel's homeland. Yeah, God works in mysterious ways. God says, okay, Elijah, I'm going to take you to the homeland of Jezebel, and she's not even going to think about searching for you there because I've got a special project for you to do. Here in this point, as we look at the scriptures, there is tension in the text, and I want you to feel it here. The question arises, why would God send Elijah from this supernatural provisions of the ravens bringing in meat and bread twice a day and now go to a widow? And we're going to see it's going to be challenging because he's going to ask something from her. And so from Elijah's perspective, he knows God can provide. He knows God is an amazing God and he can do wonderful things. But as he approaches this widow, this Gentile widow, she's coming from a different perspective. It's famine. She's been struggling. Food has been scarce. There's no water. She's at the verge, we're going to find out, of death, and we're going to find out, and she's responsible for others that are around her. But I want you to get this as we're learning through obedience, we're renewing our mind. Get this. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. Isaiah 55:9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So often within our lives, we try to put our thought patterns on God. But please, we're not God. God is God alone. And he does some things that will bring tension in our lives. He does and leads us in places that we feel uncomfortable. We have peace, but we feel uncomfortable. And I want you to know that's where that trust process, that's where that renewal of mind occurs as we continue to seek the Lord. Lord, put this on my heart. We must renew our mind and trust the Lord in everything. Can you put everything in the chat? We must renew our mind and trust the Lord in everything. Notice as this continues on, 1 Kings 17:10. "So Elijah rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.'" Verse 11, "And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" Here's a point. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? In obedience, Elijah journeys to Zarephath, Jezebel's hometown. It's actually on the Mediterranean coast near Tyre and Sidon. And the widow is going to get water. He asks for a little cup of water, and she's going to get a little cup of water. Remember, there's a drought, so even the water is very precious at this point. But as she's going, get this, Elijah asks for more. He wants a morsel of bread also. Now, this is challenging. This is challenging because, you know, we've all been in that situation where we wanted to give, we wanted to bless someone, but then the blessing turned in. They wanted more from us that we did not plan to give. This is that widow. And again, she's coming from a Gentile background. And this man, Elijah, the culture there was to really welcome guests, to take care of guests. So she's trying to do all that she can do, but there is still a backdrop. We've got to find it. We've got to analyze her character. His perspective, Elijah's like, you know what, God, he provides. He provides. But this lady, she's going through the effects. She's struggling her own self to keep her own self alive. This is a challenging situation. Jesus speaks of these things, Matthew 5:41, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Can you put in the chat? Two. Yes, I'm telling you, this whole process, these scriptures are challenging for us. That's why we got to learn through obedience. We have to renew our mind. Matthew 5:42, "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Now, I know you got some answers. I wish I could just stop right here and do a little Bible study and just answer all those questions. But it's challenging as we're walking in the Lord because he wants so much from us. And that's why he's given us his Holy Spirit. Spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth. There ought to be some hallelujahs, amens, or ouches out there. God is so faithful. We are learning through obedience. Look at 1 Kings 17:12 as this continues on. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, here it is, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Here's the point. A hopeless situation. A hopeless situation. Some of you have been there. You've been there when your back is up against the wall. And you just don't know which way to go. Your choices, every choice that you've made, the doors have been slammed in your face. Bills are coming in. Maybe there's sickness in your body. Maybe a relationship is breaking apart and you don't. It is a hopeless situation. Let's look closely at this scripture. I want to pull out some points here in 1 Kings 17:12. Again, look at this. As the Lord your God lives, she says, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. Now, I want to show you approximately what that would look like. I've got it in some little containers here, but a handful of flour, just a handful of flour. And she says, all I got is just a little oil. This is it. It's over. It's done. It's finished. All I have is that. And I actually notice she goes on. She says, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself. And this is the heart wrench right here. And my son. So she's a widow. She has a son. And she said, you know what? I've decided we're going to make this little flour that I had pressured. I was holding on to it. And this oil, we had rationed it as much as we could. I'm just kind of stretching it out. But this famine has gotten so hard. Water is so scarce. And so what we decided, we're just going to eat this final meal, myself and my son, and we're going to die. This woman at this point had hit rock bottom. Yeah, it is over. It is done. Can you imagine what her energy level is at this point? Elijah comes in, give me some water. She tried to do that. Now he's like, wants a morsel of bread. And she's trying to explain that there is no even energy at this point. She's like, I don't have anything else to give. She can't see any way out at this point. But yet Elijah asked her for her last meal. God challenges us in so many ways. How would you feel in this situation where you didn't have enough for yourself? You didn't have enough for your child. You didn't have enough for your family. But yet this man comes in and says, I want it. This is challenging because in our days, it does seem like people are so cold-hearted and hard-hearted and desiring things that they don't need. And this would be hard for me to discern at this point. I'm telling you that I would not have been upset with this lady. It's like, get out of my face. I don't even know why you're, I don't even know who you are. But notice God is up to something. William Cowper wrote this hymn in 1726 that actually describes how God works sometimes. It goes on, God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. You fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter and he will make it plain. Aren't you glad that even in these trying times, God working in mysterious ways, he is still in charge? There's a similar situation in the New Testament in John 6:5. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat. You remember the feeding of those thousands there. All these people are around. And now God already knows what he's going to do. Jesus already knows what to do at this point. John 6:6. But he said to test him. For he himself knew what he would do. John 6:7. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him in John 6:9, there is a lad. Somebody say a lad. Could you put it in the chat? Lad here who has 5 barley loaves. Would you put 5 damn barley loaves and 2 fish? You can just put 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Learning through obedience, God puts us in situations, please, where our mind has to be renewed, that we can obey a God speaking to our hearts, even in situations that don't make sense. There ought to be some shouts of praise, because some of you were up against some things, are up against some things, and you're like, God, this is the word that I need. I don't see how I'm gonna make my way through this, but I'm telling you, just trust the Lord. He's faithful. I dare you right now to just take a little shout of praise. Just lift up your hand and say, God, I don't understand you. I really don't want to go this way, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. God is amazing when we just turn our lives over to him. When we renew our minds, we actually open ourselves up to a new reality. Anybody excited for a new reality? When people see death and destruction, we can see life. When people see disease, we can see healing. When people see doors closed, we can see things open. I'm telling you, when it's a cloudy day, it's a sunny day for us, simply because we've learned through obedience and renewing of our mind. Jesus taught this powerful principle in Matthew 19:26, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. There ought to be some praise out there. Look at this, 1 Kings 17:13. And Elijah said to her, here it is, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but here it is, make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. 1 Kings 17:14. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Here's the point. Decision time. Yes, decision time. Again, God sends the prophet Elijah to this city, this town, and he's speaking to this lady that just has that little bit of flour and a little bit of oil, and she's getting ready to die. She's going to make her some little cakes for herself and her son. It was going to be all over. And now Elijah says, go ahead, do what you're going to do, but what I need you to do is to make me a cake first. Isn't that challenging? 1 Kings 17:13. Look at this. He said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake first, or from it first. Now, isn't that challenging? And he says, bring it to me. I'm telling you, I think all of us at this point, if we were in this situation, would be challenged. But we say, how selfish of the man of God to ask this. There ought to be some shouts of praise. How selfish of him to stroll into the city. I told him my situation. I told him this is all that we have. Doesn't he even care about my son? Doesn't he even care about the situation? But yet he wants me to feed him first? But look at this, that conjunction. Afterward, he said, make some for yourself and your son. Feed me first. And then y'all can eat. I'm telling you, learning through obedience. And there's so often in our lives challenges that we don't understand. And we got to know that God is in the situation. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. I believe at this point, she's challenged at this point, fear and apprehension at this point. Can I trust this guy? Who is this guy? But yet God is moving. moving. He's moving in a mysterious way. But let us not forget the promise of obedience in 1 Kings 17:14. He goes on, he says, "But thus says the Lord God of Israel." He brings in Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He said, "I know something about this man. I know about supernatural provisions. I know that he can answer prayers. I know that he can give victory." He said, "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." That's the promise at this point. It has not happened, but Elijah said, "I need you to walk in faith right now." Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I need you to step out. I need you just to trust me. And there are times in our lives that we can be weak and going through situations, but God will send somebody in our lives that has strong faith to encourage us. And I pray right now that I'm encouraging you to know that God is faithful and he's getting ready. And some of you are already receiving supernatural provisions right now. Look at that scripture. "The bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry." And notice, I was going over this scripture and over this scripture, and I really hadn't seen this like this, but there's another promise in this. He said, "Until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." Elijah said, "God is going to bless you so much as this famine is going on and this drought is going on. You're going to be multiplied. God is going to multiply that little flour, that little flour and oil. You're going to keep making food and neighbors going to come by. And until this is over with, you still going to have flour. You still going to have oil, but you got to step out on faith." I just wonder how many of us are just willing to step out on faith and say, "God, you do it. I'm going to trust you in everything." God wants us to renew our mind to a level of trusting him against all odds. Can I read that again? God wants us to renew our mind to a level of trusting him against all odds. God is faithful. James B. Cohen had an educator and scientist. He wrote this. I love this saying. "Behold the turtle. He makes progress only when he sticks his neck out." Can I say that again? "Behold the turtle. He makes progress only when he sticks his neck out." Oh, we're learning through obedience how many of us are willing to stick our neck out of our shell. How many of us are willing to reach out and say, "God, I trust you. I don't know how long it's going to take to get across this road. I don't know how long it's going to take to go through this valley. I don't know how long it's going to take to climb this mountaintop. But if you are for me, you're more than the whole world is against me." I'm talking about learning through obedience. Let me pull this together in these final scriptures. 1 Kings 17:15. "So she went away," I love this, "and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days." Somebody say many days. Can you put it in the chat? Many days. 1 Kings 17:16. "The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah." Here's the final point. God will provide. Somebody say, "God will provide." Would you put it in the chat? God will provide. Notice 1 Kings 17:15, looking at it closely. "So she went away and she did it." She walked out on faith. She didn't understand, but there was something in Elijah's voice. There was something moving them, as I think ministering angels was all around, and all of a sudden she is compelled to do what he asked her to do. He went away. She went away and did according to the word of Elijah, and the conjunction, "she and he and her household ate for many days." Yes, Elijah ate and a son ate and she ate. Her whole household ate. It seemed to indicate there were some folks that came on over to her house. Oh, they got hope, all because she steps out in faith. God makes this connection. I'm talking about learning through obedience. We can trust the Lord. Walking in God's will changes everything. Anybody witness to walking in God's will? It changes everything in our lives. 1 John 5:14 talks about this in confidence. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Can you just type anything real quick? 1 John 5:15. "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." I am so glad for a God that does more than enough. As we pull this together today, I'm telling you, thank God for Elijah. Come back on next Sunday. We're gonna finish this chapter out. But there's a better Elijah. You know his name. His name is Jesus. I'm telling you, little becomes much in the master's hand. Are there any witnesses out there? Elijah was used of the Lord, but there is a better one.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus is the one that really taught us what learning through obedience is all about. Came from heaven to earth, walked among men. But in John chapter 2, his first recorded miracle, something happened at this point. It seems to indicate that at this point, Jesus is dealing with obedience to his mother, but yet he's hearing the Father. And Mother Mary, she decides when the wine runs out at this engagement party, this wedding feast, she says, you know what? I know my son. He hears from the Father. He's God manifest in the flesh. If anybody can change the situation, I know he can. And she says, she speaks to him. They run out of that wine. I need you to do something about this. And he basically says, woman, what are you up to? Don't you know my time is not yet? But she says this. She looks at all the people around. He said, whatever Jesus says, you do it. Whatever he asks of you, you just do it. Because I know that he can turn things. I'm talking about learning through obedience. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus said, go get me some pots and go ahead and put some water in those pots. Because I know my Father does miracles. And I know that he's using me. I know that I'm 100% God, yet a 100% man. But I'm going to show you something. Elijah was able to cause the famine to come by just speaking and what the Father had spoken to him. And a drought occurred. No rain occurred. But what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to take this water and I'm going to make it into wine. And he said, go ahead and put it in the pot. He said, go ahead and taste it. I'm talking about learning through obedience. I'm talking about against all odds. God can do some amazing things. And some of you need to say, thank you, Lord. Obedience takes place even further because Christ goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, Luke 22:39. Coming out, he went to the Mountain of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. I'm talking about learning through obedience. God speaks to us over and over again. And we have this example of Jesus. And God said, you got to hear my voice and you've got to do it. Luke 22:41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Learning through obedience. Luke 22:43. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like drops of blood falling down to the ground. I'm so glad for learning through obedience, because he didn't stop right there. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten and he's bruised. He goes down the Via Dolorosa. They hang him on the cross of Calvary. Nails in his hands, nails in his feet. He gives up the ghost. They peel that body off the cross, put it in a gold grave. But I'm so glad to let you know, 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory, because he's learned through obedience, showing us an example that even against impossible odds, God is faithful. What are you up against? God wants us to renew our mind that in whatever situation is coming our way, we can trust him. Can you put in the chat, I can trust him? Saints, as we're going through this topic, I want you to get it. God wants to take you to a higher level in him. Whatever that means to you, it just means a closer relationship, that we go from just hearing the word to actually walking in the word. That we go from looking at a pastor preach to us or teach us, or a Sunday school teacher or someone else to speak into our lives, to literally hearing the voice of the Lord and being used to speak into other people's lives. Here's a question. Who will God make you an Elijah to? Yes. Who will he allow you to speak into their lives, and God will produce a miracle? But remember, there's a cost. There's a struggle. It costs Jesus everything for us, because he was obedient to the Father, but there was victory on the other side. And even now, Jesus has ascended, seated on the right hand of the Father, and he's interceding or praying for us. That is good news. If you're listening in, and I pray, and you don't know him, my prayers for you that right now, as you can learn from obedience, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, and the scriptures are clear, you will be saved. You're like, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my struggles. You don't know the things that I'm wrestling with. I do know one thing, the word of God, and the word of God is true. And it says, if you do this with your whole heart, he'll save you. Say, Pastor, how do you know? Because he saved me. That same miracle power that's worked in my life and my family's life can work in your life. Just ask him into your heart. He'll save you right where you are. And I'm telling you, it'll be past just, you know, walking down some aisle and going to an altar. But this transformation process, this renewal takes you past Sunday into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And now you want more of God. You are hungry for his word. That's the salvation that we're talking about. Doesn't mean that we're not going to have any struggles. Doesn't mean that we're not going to make some mistakes. But 1 John 1:9 said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That is good news. So I encourage you, ask him into your heart. To the saints today, man, as we're looking at this and we've looked at these scriptures, ask God, how will he use you? Are you going to be the widow? Are you going to be the son? Are you going to be Elijah? What piece do you play in this story? Because guess what? God is still moving in wonderful ways right now. Whatever situations that you're struggling with right now, I just want you to hold it up to the Lord as we go in prayer and just believe. Say, God, help me to learn through obedience. Help me, God, even when it doesn't look right, even when it's scary, even when I don't understand it, to hear your voice, trust you, and walk in it. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this word. Wow, so challenging, Lord, so much in these scriptures. Thank you for Elijah. Thank you for the widow. Thank you for the son and those that were blessed, Lord. But most importantly, thank you for your son, Jesus, who is our ultimate example. Thank you, Father, for sending your Holy Spirit to dwell inside of the believer, Father God, and teaching us and guiding us and leading us into all truth. Help us, Lord, whatever challenges that the brothers and sisters may be going through right now, God, help them to trust you. Help them to renew their mind in you, Lord. I thank you for souls again being saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of you. Lord, we just praise you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's name. Where have seen sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all thou guilt stains. There is a fountain drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Where sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all thou guilt. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Help us sing this. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What's his name? Come on. Healer, healer. Healer, healer, healer. Oh, healer, healer, healer. Ooh, healer, healer, healer. If you know, call his name. I know you called him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If he saved you, say, Savior, Savior, Savior. Oh, Savior, Savior, Savior. Savior, Savior, Savior. What's his name? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let's call him Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus, Jesus. I have found a love that pardons. I have found some stripes that heal. I have found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sins. Said I found a love that pardoned. Oh, I found some stripes that healed. Oh, I found strength for my weakness. I found grace to cover all of my sin. And this in Jesus, all in Jesus. It's in Jesus, it's in Jesus. He, oh, he's the Lord. He's my rock of salvation, a firm foundation. Yes, it's in Jesus. That's in Jesus. He's the one. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, 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 oh. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, it's in Jesus. Blessed Jesus. He's the one, yeah. It's in Jesus. He is the one. Oh, yes, it's in Jesus. Blessed Jesus. He's the one.